We'll make the month. Hashem Sach. Okay, understand why Parshas Parah is potentially the most important topic for our Rebbe. Right, how does Parshas Parah begin? What is Parshas Parah? This Shabbos, in addition to reading Parshas Shmini, we're going to read Parshas Parah, which means we have an additional Kriyas HaTorah, a special maftir. The first 22 psukim of Parshas Chukas. Right, B'midbar Perek Yuches. I think. We read the 22 psukim that talk about the Parah Aduma. Okay, why do we read Parshas Parah? What does it have to do with anything? Well, we want to be able to bring the Karban Pesach in its time. So we need to purify ourselves from Perek Yutes. I'm sorry, Chukas Perek Yutes. Yeah, it's the first 22 psukim. It's the whole Perek. Perek Yutes of Chukas. We're cleansing ourselves, we're preparing ourselves, purifying ourselves to be able to get ready for Chodesh Nisan. Be able to bring the Karban Pesach. And that's the Pashup Shah. But of course, how does Parshas Parah begin? It begins, Hashem speaks to Moshe, Ve'edaber Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron le'emor. You see it at the top of our page, Reish Nun Aleph. Zos Chukas HaTorah asher tziva Hashem le'emor. This is the law of the Torah. Nope. In fact, the Orachayim HaKadosh Akasha. Why does it say Zos Chukas HaTorah? When it introduces Karban Pesach, it says Zos Chukas Ha Pesach. So when it introduces the Parah Aduma, it should say Zos Chukas Ha Parah. Maze Zos Chukas Ha Torah. Why does it say this is the law of the Torah? This is not the law of the entire Torah, is it? But as the Mefarshim, as the Tzaddikim throughout the generations explain, in many respects, the Parah Aduma is the ultimate chok. It's the ultimate law of Kol HaTorah Kula. Why? Because if I only keep mishpatim, if I only keep mitzvos that I understand, so in a certain sense, I'm serving my own God, I'm serving my own mind, I'm serving my own understanding of things. But if I'm willing to take upon myself a mitzvah that I can't understand, and the reason that by the Parah Aduma it says Zos Chukas HaTorah, because this is the ultimate chok, the most inexplicable of the chukim, the most paradoxical of the chukim, that somehow the Parah Aduma can create tuma and tara, that in the preparation of the Parah Aduma it makes the kohen tame, and the one who gets sprinkled upon becomes tahor. So which is it? Is it tuma? Is it tara? What's the secret of the Parah Aduma? So when a person accepts upon himself a chok, especially a chok like Parah Aduma, the ultimate mystery of Torah, so that is the ultimate acceptance of Torah. That is the ultimate expression of one's emunah in Hashem. Shlomo HaMelech understood basically everything. The Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Temura that Shlomo HaMelech set out to understand everything. There was one thing that Shlomo HaMelech could not understand. What was the one thing that Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles admits, I can't understand? So listen to this pasuk in Koheles and then we'll come to the Yesh Kodesh. The pasuk says in Koheles, in Perek Zayin, Shlomo HaMelech says, Amarti echchama, I said that I will become wise, vihi rechoka mimeni, but it is beyond me, vihi rechoka mimeni. Koheles Perek Zayin Pasuk Chav Gimel. It is beyond me, hi rechoka mimeni. Shlomo HaMelech was the wisest of men, he knew everything, but it, vihi rechoka mimeni. I couldn't wrap my head around this one. Okay, so I saw once an amazing thing in a sefer. First of all, what's Shlomo HaMelech talking about? He's talking about Parah Aduma, right? He understood everything except for the mystery, the secret of Parah Aduma. We assume that Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who truly understood this secret, and not for now why that is, but Shlomo HaMelech says, V'hi rechoka mimeni, it's beyond me. I couldn't chap it, I couldn't get it. I couldn't understand the paradox of the Parah Aduma. Okay? So it's all safer, amazing thing. V'hi rechoka Yimani. He is Gematria. Let's see. 10 plus 12, 22. Rechoka is 319. And Mimani is 130. 140. Can I put it together? Yehir Rechol Kami Mani. 22 plus
19. 471. Sorry.
Try again.
481.
481, yeah?
Okay, I'm
going to
be right.
Yeah. Para Aduma. Let's see. 285. Not gonna work. We're off. Hold on. Let's see. Oh, maybe it's not Mimani. Yeah. The Hira Choka. Yeah. The Hira Choka. It is beyond. Right. Mimani is Shlomo. What are they Shlomo? The Hira Choka. It is beyond. What's beyond? The Hira Choka is Gematria 341. Para Duma is Gematria 341. So what is the thing? What was the it that was Rechoka? V'hi Rechoka, I can't get it, says Shlomo. It is beyond me, V'hi Rechoka, it is beyond. What is beyond? V'hi Rechoka is exactly Gematria Para Aduma. That was the thing that Shlomo Melech couldn't understand. Now you have to understand, this is year 3, this is Parshas Para from the year Tafshin Beis, 1942, the third year of the Rebbe's Taras. He's been trying to daven and to explain and to be mechazek. And now the Rebbe has to what? Has to address the Para Aduma, the things that we don't understand. The Holocaust is certainly pretty high up on the thing, in the list of things that we don't understand. Okay, so look what the Rebbe says. And you'll see why this is sort of, again, speaks volumes about what it means to suffer like a Jew, as the Rebbe and so many others are, and to try to make sense of something that can't be made sense of. Okay, so he quotes the pasuk. Zos chukas haTorah asher tziva Hashem lemor daber el bnei Yisrael v'yikru elecha para aduma tamima asher ein bamum asher lo ala aleha ol. Take a para that is aduma tamima, that is completely red, that has no mum, that has no blemish, asher lo ala aleha ol, that has never been used as a work animal, it's never worn the yoke. Perish Rashi. Why is Hashem being mechazik azos chukas haTorah? Lefisha Satan v'umos ha'olam monin es Yisrael, because the Satan, which we know from the Gemara in Baba Basra, is synonymous with the Yetzirah. So the Yetzirah and the umos ha'olam, in other words, the voice within a person and the voice outside of a person, the nations of the world, monin es Yisrael. Monin does not mean counts. Monin means taunts. They make fun of us. There's an internal voice that mocks you. There's an outside voice that mocks you. Lomar ma mitzvah zu ma tam yeshba. What is the nature of this mitzvah? This makes no sense. What are you, an irrational person? What are you, unscientific? You don't know how to think? Why would you do something that doesn't make any sense? So there's a voice inside a person and outside a person that says, what is this mitzvah? What is its nature? Leficha kosov ba chuka. Therefore, Hashem refers to it as a chok, a law. Gzeirahi milafanai. It's a decree from before me. Ein lecha rishus laharher achareha. And you have no permission to what? To question it. We accept it because kasher tziva Hashem, because God said so. Okay, that has to be, as we've mentioned many times, the underpinning of all of our relationship with Torah and mitzvahs. Starting point of my relationship is I do everything because Hashem says so. After that, that's where the Rambam writes, at the end of Hilchos Tumura, we should use our brain to try to understand everything. And he writes, that Shlomo Melech understood, kemat everything. Again, the V'hi Rechoka is Paraduma, the thing that Shlomo couldn't get. But the baseline has to be, Ein Lecha Rishus, we don't have permission to even think. Obviously, Para, and the Tzaddikim write about this, is a very good hemshech, a good continuation of the avoda of Purim, right? Purim is Ad Lo Yada. And Para is sort of the, you can see the relationship, as Tzaddikim talk about it, the relationship between the word Purim and the word Para, right? The continuation of that, what? Of that surrender, that bittul to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's sort of this process, right? Purim representing a certain surrender to Hashem, Para representing a certain surrender to Hashem, coming out of Mitzrayim, becoming Hashem's people at Har Sinai is a certain surrender to Hashem. Okay, so Klal Yisrael is being molded by their emunah and by their bittul. Yeah. Nothing. That's why Zos Chukas haTorah. This reminds me that everything is a chok. Yes. This is the ultimate area where you're going to say, I don't get it at all. You're right. You don't understand murder, and you don't understand why the Torah is against adultery and why the Torah is against stealing and kidnapping. We don't understand why the Torah says honor your parents. Of course I do. It makes sense. Don't kill. Of course I do. It makes sense. On a certain level, it does. But this is the ultimate chok. Every mitzvah has, you know, Gedalia Shor used to explain, every mitzvah has its main message, and every other mitzvah has a little bit of that message. So the ultimate chok is paraduma, and every mitzvah has an element of chok. Right? Matzah. What's the message of matzah? Matzah teaches us what? Zrizus. Right? Don't be machmitz the mitzvahs. Don't cause your mitzvahs to become chametz. Maybe that's the essential message of matzah, but Zrizus is true by all mitzvahs that we do. So every mitzvah has its main message, and every other mitzvah has a little bit of that. Okay, but you're right. Enachanami. This reminds us that we don't understand anything. So says the Rabbi, when it comes to the Parah Aduma, on the one hand, what is the Parah Aduma? In a sentence, it's the ability to remove Tumas Meis. It's purifying. Rashi's telling us that the essence of Parah Aduma is teaching us not to question Hashem. Says the Rebbe so beautifully. Be'af Shalomar. She'ein heim be'ez zvarim. It's not two separate things. Hatara la'atzma va'isr lahar acharel la'atzma. It's not two separate things. That purification is by itself and the prohibition of contemplating, questioning Hashem is by itself. Rather, says the Rebbe, and you can underline these next seven words, Rak gam ha'isr lahar mi'inyan hatarahi. Not questioning Hashem, surrendering ourselves to Hashem with emunah, that is purifying. That is cleansing. Isser lahar is me'inyan hatarahi. And the Rebbe says, I'll give you a very simple example. Rabbi Akiva Omer b'sof yoma, Rabbi Akiva says at the end of Maseches Yoma, Ma mikva mataras atmeyim, hafa kadosh baruch hu mataras Yisrael. Yeah, just like a mikvah purifies a person who's tamei, so too Hashem purifies a Jew. How does a mikvah work? What if most of my body's in the mikvah, but I keep my arm out? Got to go all in. You got to fully immerse. So ha mikvah mitaher rak kishenichnasim ba b'chol aguf. So Hashem is like a mikvah. So the same way that a mikvah purifies when a person enters the water with his entire body. And if one limb remains outside of it, of the water, it doesn't work, it doesn't purify. Similarly, we need to what? We need to put our entire beings into Hashem. Not to leave a part of ourselves on the side and say that I can't serve this God because I don't understand. Then you're not going to get the purification. To enter with our entire being into Hashem's domain. But the person who considers himself to be a something, an independent something, uvidas atzmo, and he operates in his own mind, his own way of thinking, then he remains outside of Hashem. He's not in the mikvah of Hashem. So the Rebbe is explaining, Paraduma, the fact that it purifies and the fact that it teaches us not to question Hashem, those two things go hand in hand. The purification of a relationship with Hashem comes from the fact that what? That I go all in, that I don't question Hashem, that I trust that Hashem knows what He's doing. It takes humility, it takes bittul, it takes releasing one's gaiva, which is so much the midah of a malik, to go to such a place. Says the Rebbe, it's bolded in our edition. Bitzrichim levatel el atzmeinu. We need to negate ourselves. Right? The Rebbe is, this is 1942. The Rebbe says, I know you all have questions. The Kedusha Slavi, the Heilige Berditchever, Rav Weinberger always likes to quote. The Berditchever used to sit at the Seder and say, Rabbono Shalom, you think I only have four kashas for you? You think in the Manashtan I only have four questions for you? I have countless questions for you. Whenever I tell that story, and especially when you're learning Eish Kodesh, I always say, Rabbono Shel Olam, after the Holocaust, we have 6 million questions for you. We have 6 million unanswered questions for you. But we have to be mevatel to ourselves and trust that Hashem knows what He's doing. It's very hard. It takes tremendous humility to believe. But it sort of becomes that point. Zos chukas haTorah. Do I believe in God or do I not believe in God? Is there one God or is there not one God? Is Hashem a perfect being or is Hashem not a perfect being? Did Hitler dominate Hashem, chas v'shalom? Or is Hashem in control, even in ways that we can't understand? And it's not our job to understand. Lo machshavosai machshavoseichem. Machshavos Hashem amku. It's beyond our ability to grasp. But we have to remind ourselves, sha'anu efes, v'da'atenu efes, that we are naught, we are nothing. Our minds are exceptionally limited. Raku yisbarach kidushaso v'retzono heim akol. Hashem is everything, and His desire trumps all. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands in the Torah is good. The way Hashem runs the world is good. Good is not always fun. Good is not always easy. Good is not always understood. But Hashem is the only one who knows the beginning, the middle, the end. Hashem runs the world in a way that's good. He's Mekor HaTov. Ve'ein lanu rishus lahara achareyam. And it's not our place to question His mitzvos or to question any of His actions. So now we begin to understand, though, why to an outsider it's very easy to mock. Lomar ma mitzvah zo? What is the nature of this mitzvah? Says the Rebbe, hold on a second. I understand where the satan starts up with a person. Again, satan we said is synonymous with Yetzirah. So we all understand that inner voice that makes us feel silly for doing things we don't understand. But where do we actually find? Do we ever find that? Did you ever meet someone on the street who stopped you and said, you're Jewish? You keep Parah Aduma? What are you, crazy? Did that ever happen to you? Did that ever happen to anyone? Where do we find such a thing that the nations of the world taunt us regarding Parah Aduma? Uvechlal, heimonim umanim osanu al kol haTorah, lo al mitzvazu dafka. And if you meet a cynical person of the world who makes fun of your Judaism, it's usually not Parah Aduma that he's picking on. He's picking on the whole system. He makes fun of the whole Torah. He makes fun of all the mitzvos. So where do we find that the nations of the world taunt us about Parah Aduma? The Rebbe says something very, very deep and very clever, the way he says it. He says, when did the nations mock Parah Aduma? Look at this. Aval b'kabbalas haTorah, the bottom paragraph. Higdimu Yisrael nasa l'nishma. However, our national Parah Aduma moment was when the Jewish people said Nasa v'Nishma. We're prepared to do it before we understand it. Nishma means to understand it. Not just to hear it, but to understand it. Nasa, we will do it before we even come to a Nishma. We don't understand why we're doing what we're doing. How is that radically different than the Umos HaOlam's relationship with Torah? Right? That they asked when Hashem, the famous Medrash, Hashem offering the Torah to humanity, and what did the nations of the world say? Well, let's hear what it is. Let's hear if it makes sense. Let's see if we like what you're offering. And the descendants of Esav said, this mitzvah doesn't work for us. And another group, the descendants of Yishmael, said, this doesn't work for us. Right? So this mitzvah wasn't good in this one's eye, this mitzvah wasn't good in that one's eyes. Each one had their issue. No, this is not for me, this is not for me, this is not for me. Lachain ha-satan mona es Yisrael im umos ha-olam. It's not that the satan comes and makes fun of Parah Aduma and the nations of the world, the people of the world make fun of Parah Aduma. It's that the satan, part of the way that he ridicules us, he ridicules us im umas ha'olam, with the nations of the world. It wasn't he ridicules us with the nations of the world. The satan, the Yetzirah, that internal, cynical, pessimistic voice says the following, three lines from the bottom, va'omer, atem lo sha'altem, you Jews thought you were so frum, you showed up and you said nasa v'nishma, you didn't ask lo sha'altem, you didn't ask ma mitzvah zo, what is the nature of this mitzvah, ma tam yeshva, in deciding if you should accept it or not. You just decided to go for it. The Haim and they, the Umas Olam, Sha'alu, they asked. And then the Yetzirah mocks you with the Umas Olam. What does he mean, mocks you with them? He uses them against you, as if to say, Umikol Makom, says the Yetzirah, but look, interesting. Hibitu na. Look carefully, says the Yetzirah. Mi Sholeit al Mi. Who's got the upper hand? Look how you're dominated by them. So you with your great faith and your great commitment, what do they get you? As you sit here in the Warsaw ghetto, as you sit in the concentration camp, as the Nazis, right, mock you, right? Their success is mocking you. It's not that the Nazis are saying, ha ha ha, look, you keep paraduma, we don't. Right? Their very attitude towards Torah in general, of we're only going to do it if we understand it, which led them to reject the Torah. So the Yetzirah says, look how they responded, and look, seems like they're winning. So he uses that conversation that Hashem had im ha'umas olam with the nations of the world, he uses that to ridicule us, to mock us. And therefore Rashi says, zos chukas ha-Torah, a Jew needs to be strong. A Jew needs to know that my belief is be'emes amuna. V'tzadik be'emunaso yichya. It's not yediya, it's not knowledge. It's what? It's faith. Turn to the top of the next page. Lefichach, ksiv ba'chuka. Therefore, when it comes to the paraduma, what does it say? It says, this is a chok. Shagam bezeh asr laharher. Don't fall into that trap of the Yitzhara. Rak lahamin shekeven shekach Hashem oseh, kein tzarech lios. To understand, to believe, that if this is how Hashem wants it to be, if this is what God has decreed, then this is the way it's supposed to be. And the Rebbe is trying to be mechazei people. Don't question paraduma. Zos chukas haTorah, this is the backbone of our commitment to Torah. And the Rebbe is trying to say to Jews who are hanging on by a thread in 1942, the Rebbe is saying, don't question. Have emunah that Hashem knows what He's doing. I know we're going through impossible times, but have faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be this way. If it didn't have to be this way, it wouldn't be this way. Uvezeh hapar mitaheres v'gam mechaperes. And in this way, by having such awesome faith, the Parah Aduma is purifying, and it's also what? It's also atoning. It brings atonement. Right? The Parah Aduma is the mikvah of the mind. And we give ourselves over wholeheartedly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if we want, essentially, part of what the Rebbe is saying is, listen, there's nothing we can do about our situation now. So how chaval is it? You know, a person drives to the mikvah, right? You drive to the mikvah, and you prepare yourself to go to the mikvah, and then you go into the water, right? And you keep your arm out of the mikvah, then you dry off, and you get dressed, and then you drive home. Let's say the whole process took you a half hour, right? But you didn't put your whole self into the mikvah, so you didn't get anything out of it, right? If you don't go all the way in, then it doesn't work. So the Rebbe's sort of, I think, part of what he's saying to the people is that we're all in this anyways. But if we question Hashem, that we're not, then our suffering is really in vain. At least let this be a mikvah. Let it be matar. Let it be mechaper. If we're going to die al kiddush Hashem, let's at least do it with faith. How sad would it be to give up our lives and not even achieve what this is achieving? We don't understand what this is achieving. We don't understand why it has to be this way. But chaval to have been thrown into this mikvah, but to keep your finger outside the mikvah. So the Rebbe's saying we have to give ourselves over wholeheartedly to Hashem. Uve Medrash Rabba says the Medrash. Kisha'ola Moshe Rabbeinu Lamar, and Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the heavens. Shama kolo shalakadosh baruch hu sha'amar halacha b'shem omra. Moshe Rabbeinu heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching a halacha in the name of the one who taught it. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Egla bas shnasa, para bas shtayim. Moshe Rabbeinu heard Hashem teaching. Rabbi Eliezer says, the definition of an egla is a one-year-old calf. The definition of a para is a two-year-old para, heifer, the red heifer. Right? Egel means a one-year-old. Para means a two-year-old. So Moshe Rabbeinu hears, wow, Hashem's teaching Torah. I mean, it's your Torah, God. You're teaching it in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. That's beautiful. Amar lefanav, ribon ha'olamim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, ooh, halavai, this Rabbi Eliezer, he gets so much kavod in Shemaim, you're teaching his Torah, you're saying over his chidushim. Moshe Rabbeinu said, yihi ratzon, that he should be mechal atzai, that he should be from among my descendants. Halavai, he should be from my family. Who is this Rabbi Eliezer? I hope that he's, you know, I hope I'm related to him. I'm Rulo, so Hashem says back to Moshe in this peculiar medrash in Parshas Chukas. Chayecha, by your life. Shehu mechalatzecha. By your life means, yeah, good, it's true. He's one of your descendants. Hadahu dechsev. This is like it's written, Vashem ha'achod Eliezer. When Moshe Rabbeinu's children are being named, one of them was named Eliezer. Shem oso ha'miyuchad. And so too, this miyuchad, this unique individual whose teachings are being quoted in the Shemaim, the holy Rabbi Eliezer, who's being quoted, right, was probably named after Eliezer, who was what? Who was one of Moshe's children. So this Eliezer, and it's hinted to in the Torah, when it says, Vishem ha'echad Eliezer, it doesn't just mean that one of Moshe's biological children was Eliezer, but there's going to be an echad, there's going to be a miyuchad who comes from you, Moshe, and his name is Rabbi Eliezer. So what on earth was Moshe Rabbeinu asking for? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu sees someone getting covered in Shemayah. Oh, I hope he's one of my descendants. Shall peep shad, shall peep pashut. Lama, and more than that, lama dafka kishishama halacha zo, bikish Moshe Rabbeinu sheyehe michalatzav. Why dafka? I mean, Hashem says Torah from all the tzaddikim. So why dafka when Moshe Rabbeinu heard Hashem quoting Rabbi Eliezer's teaching regarding the definition of a para, Moshe's like, ooh, I hope that one is comes from me. Hope he's one of my family members. Hashem says teachings, mipuma, from the mouth of Kula Rabbanan, of all the rabbis. Kamosha Amu B'Gemara, as the Gemara says in Chagiga, Hashem quotes all the tzaddikim. So why dafka this one? Moshe got so excited and said, "Oh wow, Rabbi Eliezer said something about the Paraduma. Oh, I hope he's one of my descendants." What was Moshe so excited about? Aval Rashi b'parshas Pinchas Omer b'shem Medrash. Listen, Chava. Rashi quotes a Medrash in Parshas Pinchas that Moshe Rabbeinu thought a lot about. What's going to be when I'm gone? Who's going to continue my hanhaga? Who's going to lead Klal Yisrael? Who's going to be mashpia upon them in this way? Shemoshe Rabbeinu ratzal levakesh me'akadosh baruch hu sheyershu banav eskedulaso. Moshe Rabbeinu requested of Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, please, I want my children to be yoresh. I want my children to inherit my greatness. Va'amar lo akadosh baruch hu sheyehoshua yirshenu. Kadosh Baruch Hu said back to Moshe Rabbeinu, your children, I'm sure they're going to be lovely Jews, but Yeshua is going to be the heir to your throne, so to speak. What exactly was Moshe Rabbeinu asking? V'tzrichim lahavin, lema le'ez inyan bikesh zos Moshe Rabbeinu. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu concerned that his own children should take over? Ki betach lo chas v'chalila lechvodo bikesh zos. Moshe wasn't doing it for his own honor. Right? Moshe should have asked Hashem, I hope that when I'm gone, a proper leader will lead the Jewish people. Why is the Medrash revealing that Moshe Rabbeinu is advocating for his own children to take over? If they're the most qualified, great. If Yeshua is more qualified, then Yeshua should take over. Why was Moshe asking that his children should take over? V'chein David HaMelech. Kishashama mehanavi shabanav Yeshua al-Kiso, when David HaMelech heard that his children would sit upon his throne, Acharav, that they would take his place, be Mamali Makomo. Amar Shiros v'tishbachos. David Melch was so excited. What was he so excited about? U'mahaisa simchaso b'zeh. What was the big simcha? What was Moshe Rabbeinu hoping for? What was David Melch celebrating? However, the answer is the following. Avalafi hasagaseinu haktana. But in accordance with our very small understanding, our limited hasaga, our limited grasp. Hu shekesha asher bonov yinagu es Yisrael b'derech haTorah v'avoda shalo. It's understood that when a child goes in the way of a parent, when a child continues the legacy of a parent, az tova hi gam lo ba'olam elyon. It's good for the neshama, the parents, the neshama in the olam elyon continues to what? To receive from that continuity. Right? So when you're learning Torah right now, it's helping the neshama of those who came before you, of your grandparents, of your great-grandparents. It helps the earlier generations. Right? And it's as if Moshe Rabbeinu says, if my children continue to lead, so on a certain level, since these are my children, it's as if I continue my hanhaga, I continue to lead even after I'm gone. But again, so what? Why does Moshe need to lead? Why does he care so much? Why are Moshe and David so excited to hear, or hopeful, that their derech should continue? Moshe Rabbeinu was anav mikol adam. David HaMelech says, Anochi tolas v'lo ish. I'm a worm, I'm not even a person. Moshe and David HaMelech both were kings. Moshe Rabbeinu is called a king in the Torah. Vayhi bishurin melech. Moshe Rabbeinu is called a melech multiple times by Rashi, if I'm not mistaken, multiple times. Certainly at least once, but multiple times, I believe. And David HaMelech was a melech. And yet, how could they be so great and so empowered and yet so humble? But that's what the P.S.S. Rebbe is trying to teach people right now. Right? Greatness comes from surrender to Hashem, not making myself into my own thing. V'nodas ha-gemara Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos says, Sha'achar ha-chet, that after the chet ha-egel, Zocha Moshe l'kol ha-ksarim shenitnu li-Yisrael b'scharak damas nasa v'nishma. However, what does the Gemara say? What happened when we said nasa v'nishma? Angels came down from Shemayim and put two crowns on each of our heads. We got one crown for Nasa. We got one crown for Nishma. Says the Gemara, what happened when we sinned with the Chet HaEgel? The angels came back and took them away. Who got the crowns? Moshe Rabbeinu got the crowns. But says the Gemara, V'asid lach zirum la'asid lavo, V'bnei Yisrael are going to get back those crowns. V'navina imkein chas v'chalila yiskatin Moshe Rabbeinu la'asid ki yachsar es aksarim. So yes, that'd be an interesting question. So does that mean that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be less holy in the future when he has to give back all the crowns? Moshe Rabbeinu got all the crowns. He got all of Bnei Yisrael's crowns. He got 1.2 million crowns, 600,000 times 2. He got 1.2 million crowns. And in the future he's going to give them back. So it says the Rebbe, is that fair to Moshe? Why should Moshe have to lose them? He earned them by not being involved with Chet HaEgel. Is Moshe Rabbeinu going to be diminished in the future when he gives back the crowns? So explains the Rebbe in the bottom paragraph. Aval gam oz, kishalacham Moshe Rabbeinu, lo chas v'chalila la'atzmo chatafosam. When Moshe got the crowns, he didn't get the crowns. He didn't take the crowns for himself. He wasn't benefiting from Bnei Yisrael's averos. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't enjoying those crowns. What was he doing? What was he doing as the leader of Klal Yisrael? He was saying, you know what? Right now you're not worthy of the crowns. I'll hold them for you. I'll watch over them for you until you grow up. And then I'll give them back to you. Right? A parent gives something to a child and sees that the child's not using it properly. So the parent doesn't take it away and gift it to himself or herself. The parent says, you know what? I see that you're not mature enough to use this thing in the right way. Right? You know? And when you're ready, I'll give it back to you. Right? And in the meantime, I'll use it to benefit you, but I can't put you in charge of it.
You're not going to use it
for yourself. A parent gives a child a credit card, right? And the child, you know, runs up a bill in an irresponsible way. So the parent says, okay, I'm taking back the credit card. Right? If you need something, I'll buy it for you. I'll be in charge of the credit card. I'll still use it to help you. Right? But I can't trust you to hold it on your own. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take the crowns for himself. Look what he writes. Rakadei shelo yashuvu lamala. Moshe Rabbeinu was scared that if the angels take back the crowns, the Jews will never get them again. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to take those crowns and hold them for you. V'lo yisnehu Yisrael klum me'orim m'kedush asam. Moshe says, I don't want the angels to take back the crowns. Those crowns, whatever they were, these spiritual crowns, I want Bnei Yisrael to benefit from their light and from their holiness. Lachain lachamhu, Moshe Rabbeinu took them and held them for them. Uvitur mani Yisrael ya'ir hu lahem me'osan aksarim. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as a leader, as a concerned Rebbe, he tried to what? He tried to radiate from those crowns. He tried to use them to shine upon the Jewish people, that they should continue to benefit from the life and the spiritual impression of those crowns. And then he says something fascinating. Look what he writes here. L'chein b'shosha lamad im Yisrael. You know that Moshe Rabbeinu was glowing so much that what? That you could barely look at him. When Moshe Rabbeinu taught B'nai Yisrael, Yasir es hamasveh me'al panav, he took off his mask from upon his face, k'dei sheyenu mekarne ha'hod, so that B'nai Yisrael could benefit, even though they weren't worthy of always being in the presence of that light, but that they should be able to benefit from those rays of splendor that were shining off of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he writes here in three words, something that I think is a big chiddush. I'm not sure where the Rebbe got it from. I trust him, but I never knew this. Shahayu me'osam haksarim. The shine of Moshe Rabbeinu came from the crowns of B'nai Yisrael. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was controlling his own light and shining it on B'nai Yisrael in balance, in measure, he was trying to make sure that they would continue to what? To be the recipients of that ore, of that light. Moshe Perish Rashi Sham B'Gemara. D'zacha Moshe V'nadla. Moshe Rabbeinu was zocha to take those crowns. V'gam ata anu nenim me'osam karne ahod al yidei ispashtusa de Moshe shebechol dara. And now the people continue to benefit from that light through the hispashtus, through the impression, through the what? Through the influence of Moshe shebechol dara, which is found in every generation. Uvizem miskashim l'geula v'oz osid Moshe l'achzira. And in that way, Moshe was preparing the people, was helping them to what? To receive that light in the proper measure, which would pave the way for them to eventually earn their crowns back. Okay? Yeah.
So, the Rebbe is saying that it looks like Moshe was using the crowns for himself because he had this light, but the light was really to give away.
Correct. Correct. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned about. He wanted to make sure that his hashpa would be continued when he was no longer. He didn't care if his children got the kavod. He didn't care so much about his own honor. What he cared about was that Moshe Rabbeinu, as a sensitive leader, was always looking out for others and helping them, whatever level they were on, to be able to receive Hashem's light. Right? And that's what a tzaddik does. A tzaddik helps to direct a certain or at a person that he can be able to mekabel it. What the Rebbe is doing in these paragraphs, we could debate. You know, is the Rebbe being machazik himself as the Rebbe, saying that while people are struggling, I'm hoping, I'm trying to, you know, collect their lack of amunah, and I become this, like, you know, this silo of amunah, and then I'm able to, like, you know, Yosef Atzadeh gathered up all the grain to then be able to distribute to sustain people in those years of famine. Is the Rebbe trying to become that nuclear reactor to be able to radiate properly out and to energize everyone around him? I'm not sure exactly what he's saying. But he's going to come back now to that medrash. Right? Because again, what was Moshe Rabbeinu so excited about, says the medrash, when he saw that someone was teaching Par Aduma? When he saw Rabbi Eliezer making drushes about Par Aduma, Moshe said, I hope that's part of my hashpa. Why? Why was he so concerned with that? So let's just do this top paragraph on page Rishon and Gimel. L'chein kisheshama Moshe Rabbeinu kolo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu sh'omer shmaita m'Rabbi Eliezer b'inyan Parah. When Moshe Rabbeinu heard Hashem giving over a teaching about the Par Aduma in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, u'kanizkar la'el, and as we explained above, Chukas ha'para inyan hakdamas nasa l'nishma. Again, let's put it all together. How did we first get those crowns? Why did the angels give us those crowns? Because we said nasa v'nishma. It was so astounding that we said nasa v'nishma that we got this awesome ore. Chet ha'egel was such a setback that we lost those crowns. Moshe Rabbeinu held those crowns for us and tried to share that light with us, to nurse us back to health, so to speak, spiritual health, so that one day we could get our crowns back. So when Moshe Rabbeinu hears that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is quoting teachings of Rabbi Eliezer about the para, and we understand now that the para, the message of the para, that absolute faith in Hashem, not to question, is very much similar to the notion of saying Nasa before Nishma. She'ein maharim ve'ein sho'olim ma mitzvah zu kumas olam. That we didn't ask, like the nations of the world, when they were offered the Torah, tell me why it's worth it. We never asked that question. We had the courage to go all in with Hashem. Bikesh hine lo eska shabanai acharai yinhagu es Yisrael ves or haksarim minasa v'nishma shabi yashpiu behem. Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned. I want this hanhaga to be able to continue. This hanhaga of what? Of shining the light from the ksarim, which is the light of nasa v'nishma. I want that to continue when I'm gone. Moshe Rabbeinu says, maybe I'm hoping that my children are the best ones to continue that legacy of giving over Nasa v'nishma, of shining that light of Nasa v'nishma on the Jewish people, that they should have that strength, that faith. It turns out Hashem's response is Yeshua is a better Talmud, so he's actually better at doing that. It wasn't about Moshe Rabbeinu wanting his kids to. He said, I want whoever saw my hanhaga up close, I want that person to be able to continue this hanhaga, this leadership, this style of leadership. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu heard in the future a tzaddik, Rabbi Eliezer, teaching about the Parah Aduma. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Oh, that's good. That's very good. I hope this is still part of my hashpa, because I loved Parah Aduma, because I wanted the Jewish people to remember how great they were for saying Nasa v'Nishma. Al kopanim yehizeh mechal atzai. I hope this is one of my descendants. Sheomer halacha mimenu beparshas Parah. She gam kein bechinas Nasa v'Nishma." Moshe Rabbeinu says, my greatest desire is to help a Jew get his crown back. Again, it's the Rebbe's tefillah, the Rebbe's davening. He's saying, I'm trying to keep, Hashem, I'm begging you, I'm trying to keep Jews from after 3 years of Holocaust. I'm trying to get them not to question you, Hashem. I'm hoping. And the Rebbe's scared for himself. If I'm dead, what's going to happen? Who's going to take over? Who's going to be mechazik these Yidden? Right? The Rebbe's saying, keep me alive so I can keep this message going strong. V'ya'ir al yedeza l'Yisrael amuno mesiras nefesh l'kadosh baruch hu. Hashem, I hope that Rebbe Eliezer, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I hope it's a sign that this Nasa v'Nishma is still strong in the world. That Parah Aduma, the message of Parah Aduma is strong in the world. People need to understand, Zos Chukas HaTorah is the backbone of our faith. Because if you're only doing the things you understand, so then you're no different than the non-Jews who didn't accept the Torah. I accept it on my terms. Accept it in accordance with my understanding. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I hope, but I hear Rabbi Eliezer, I'm so happy. Oh, in the future, someone's still talking about Parah Aduma, that's Gevaldik. I hope that's part of that ongoing chain of teaching the importance of this message. Rak laham in shekol masha kadosh baruch hu gozer va'osa tovu. I hope the Jewish people know, in the future, when it gets harder to know, I hope the Jewish people will still know Nasa v'Nishma. I hope the Jewish people will still know Parah Aduma. I hope the Jewish people will still know that everything Hashem does is good. And not question a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And not fall into that negativity of the Yetzer Hara that says, look, the Umas HaOlam are winning. They didn't say Nasa v'Nishma. They're more logical than you and they're winning because of it. Your blind faith has gotten you nowhere. Got you into gas chambers. That's what the sin, that's the ultimate cynicism of the Yetzer Hara. To say that your faith hasn't helped you one bit. And the Rebbe saying, it's not true. Hang on tight, you'll see, it's all good. It's all part of a master plan. Says the Rebbe in the last paragraph, this is deep Torah, this is heavy stuff. Hayotze lanu mizeh, the bottom line is, says the Rebbe, she'inyan para inyan hakdamas nasa v'nishma. Why do we have a parshas para right now? Why are we reading about the Parah Aduma? We just finished the Yom Tov of Purim. We've begun to prepare ourselves for the Yom Tov for Pesach. What is the difference between Purim and Pesach? Purim is a Yom Tov where everything happens in a place of concealment. Esther means concealment. Hashem's name, not in the Megillah, is concealment. There are no open miracles on Purim. It's all natural. It's all hidden from us. What about Pesach? Pesach is all open. It's all revealed. It's all crystal clear. It's so obvious, right? It all makes sense. So sort of that transition, as we transition from the world of Parah to the world of, from the world of Purim to the world of Pesach, Parah Aduma serves as that bridge. We read Parah and HaChodesh, right? These parshios serve as the bridge between the world of Purim and the world of Pesach. Between the world of utter concealment, of not knowing anything, and the world of seeing the Yad Hashem so openly, like by Kriyas Yamsuf, that we could point and say, Zek Keli Van Vein. Parah Aduma has to be in its place. Right? Because only the person, again, I know historically, Pesach took place way before Purim. Right? But in the calendar year, in an interesting way, we have Purim, and then it's followed by Pesach. Because if I don't have that foundation of Para, of Purim, of Adlo Yada, if I don't have that foundation of surrender to Hashem when I don't get it, then I'm not going to be worthy of what? Of basking in the light of Gula. The open miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I think Rav Meir Shapiro said that Nasa V'Nishma, it's Gematria 891, is the same Gematria as Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because the Yetzias Mitzrayim, right, it was only our Nasa V'Nishma that got us the Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's our surrender, it's our faith, it's our Amunah Pshuta, to trust Hashem, to follow Hashem into the wilderness. Lechtech Achrei Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zerua, like the Navi says. It was our willingness to believe in Para, to say Nasa V'Nishma, that made us worthy of Torah. That made us worthy of hearing the voice of Hashem in our life. So therefore, says the Rebbe, Para Aduma is so much the story of Nasa V'Nishma, which is the story of us becoming Hashem's nation. Shalo Yahar Achasu Chalila, Rak Lahamin, to believe. Shekev and Shakol Me HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tov Hu. And when I accept that everything Hashem does is good, Uvezem Mechaperes, Umitaheres. It's Mechaper, it's Mitaher, it's purifying, it's cleansing, it's atoning. Vihi Gam Mamletes Tov Al Yisrael. And it becomes a source of what? It becomes a source of petitioning on our behalf. If we start questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbe says, I know we have endless questions. We've suffered horribly. It's 1942. The Rebbe's been giving over these Torahs since 1940. The Rebbe's own family members have been killed. The Rebbe says, but if we want to receive the purification of what we're going through, if we want to get the atonement of what we're going through, if we want to somehow petition Hashem to bring an end to this, that it should be a Melitz Tov on the Jewish people, so we have to be able to say this. Lemur, to say the following, to declare through our actions and our belief. The nations of the world asked you, Hashem, what's written in your Torah? They wanted it to be on their terms, not your terms. And we, the Jewish people, no matter how much we suffer, we don't ask, we don't question. L'chein k'mo kodem kabbalas ha-Torah. So says the Rebbe, just like the way to get to Kabbalah Satorah was through our saying Nasa V'Nishma, that preceded Kabbalah Satorah, Kain Kodem Parshas HaChodesh, Shehi Kabbalah Mitzvah Rishona, Tzrichim LeParshas Par. Says the Rebbe, in the order of the Parshas, we read Parshas Shkalim, then we read Parshas Zachor, right before Purim, now we have Para and HaChodesh. Says the Rebbe, why is Para the introduction to HaChodesh? What is HaChodesh? HaChodesh is Elohim, the first mitzvah we received as a people. So before you receive mitzvahs, you have to say Nasa V'Nishma. Another way of saying Nasa V'Nishma is what? Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is the law of the Torah, 22 psukim about the Paraduma. That says, I'm ready for mitzvahs. I'm ready for mitzvahs on your terms, Hashem, not my terms. Before we read Parshas HaChodesh, which is the first mitzvah we collectively received, we need a Parshas Para. Uvezeh, mekarvim es geulas Mitzrayim. And it's that faith. Again, b'schus ha'amuna, we got out of Mitzrayim. The Medrash says so explicitly. In the spirit of our faith, of our amuna, right? That brings about geulas Mitzrayim. And of course, the Rebbe is talking about his own geula, and our geula. U'kimei tzeisenu me'eretz Mitzrayim, yir'enu niflos, yeshuas tovos, teikav u'miyad, amen. And just like that faith and that Nasa V'Nishma made us worthy of Kabbalah Satorah and gave us that original shine which Moshe Rabbeinu and the Tzaddikim and all the generations are guarding for us and want so badly to give back to us. Right? But we have to make ourselves into the Kli that's able to receive it. So how did we get those crowns? We got them by being Nasa V'Nishma Jews, by being Para Aduma Jews, by having the humility to accept things I can't understand and to be able to proudly and loudly declare with a smile on my face, Baruch Haman. Right? Baruch Haman. And even Haman, good things come from Haman. Right? Only in an Adlo Yada state can a Jew say such a thing on Purim. But that's the goal, to realize that everything Hashem does is Hatov HaMetiv. It's all good. As the Gemara says right now, when we hear sad news, what do we say? Baruch Dayan Emes. When we hear good news, Hatov HaMetiv. For loss and love in the future, The Gemara says it's going to be only Hatova Hametiv. Because in the future we're going to understand with clarity that every single thing that Hashem ever did was good. It wasn't always easy. It wasn't always comfortable. But it was always good. Okay, so we should be Zocha. We should be Zocha to be Jews, who internalize the message of the Parah Aduma. And in doing so, we'll enter into that mikvah of Hashem. And we'll be Zocha to Tara, Kapara, and Geula b'mehera b'yameinu amen. Shkoyach. Questions or comments? Yes. Yosef Zev. The Tova Meitiv, it's in Pesachim, I believe. I'm not sure exactly where it is. I'll try to search it for a moment while you ask your other question or comment. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's somewhere in Pesachim.